It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and what an absolute pleasure to be able to spend the hour getting to know WPR's new permanent host of Simply Folk, Sheila Shigley. She is a familiar face around here, having worked at WPR since 2000, supporting Simply Folk as music librarian, filling in as host of the show in recent years. She will put her stamp on a show with deep roots. Simply Folk debuted in 1979 to play folk music from around the world and to celebrate music made and played here in Wisconsin. What do you want to know about Sheila's musical journey and her folk influence? What about her fiddle? What folk music or artist would you like Sheila to feature on the show? 800-642-1234. Simply Folk airs Sunday evenings from 5 to 8 on WPR's News and Music Network and here on the Ideas Network. Sheila Shigley, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Kate. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so pleased you can be here. And congratulations. How does it feel to take over as host?
It feels very exciting. Big shoes to fill. Tom, Judy, Becca, Stephanie, Dan, they've all been my idols leading up to this point, and I'm just very thrilled to be doing this.
Well, we just, need to release this question into the universe, Sheila. I don't know, but what constitutes folk music? How do you describe it?
That is a great question. I've come to the conclusion that it's not possible to answer the question. But of course, we spend our lives trying. Like that's the whole point of the show. It's a huge umbrella, and I think it changes a little bit from era to era. But what's exciting to me is that we keep bringing in more and more kinds of music rather than narrowing our focus. Our arms keep opening wider.
Yeah, I really like the piece of it saying that it passes from one generation to the next, that there's a piece of this that is moving on through time. And that to me is something that I maybe relish about. If there is a definition out there that it is really about community.
It is. It's, for community, by community. It's just, I hope always that there's not ever a feeling of exclusion. You know how it is when you go to a rock show? I mean, that's part of the excitement, These guys are up on a stage 1,000 feet high, and they're so distant from you, and you're very much an observer rather than a participant sometimes, it feels like. But what I love about folk music is that hopefully it brings people in, whether it's encouraging them to sing along or dance or, we're all part of it. And to me, that just feels very, very warm and satisfying.
Let's talk about you. Where does your love of folk music come from?
I think it comes first and foremost, my parents set me up for this journey, whether they realized they were doing it or not. My parents were and are, avid musicians. And my mother in particular had an affinity for Scottish and Irish music. She grew up loving that herself.
Aww.
And so we heard a lot of it growing up. And I'm sure that is what sort of, set me on my way.
Is there a song from your childhood that really sticks with you?
There is. Many, of course, but one of my earliest memories is, waking up in the morning as a very, very tiny child and hearing my mother sing a song called She Moved Through the Fair. Mm. And she'd be in the kitchen, she's always, of course, up before anybody else in the house and starting the day's work, and she would be singing to herself.
My mother won't mind. And my father wants value for your lack of kind. Then she stepped away from.
What a voice. And that you picked out is Emesha Vida.
Yes, she's a Hungarian singer. She's actually Hungarian and Serbian. And it's such a great example of how folk music can travel. Of course, in Hungary and Serbia, they have wonderful, wonderful folk music in their own tradition. But, as we know, Celtic music has taken the world by storm as well. And so here's Emesha Vida singing She Moved Through the Fair.
I love that. And, there's a version of that song, and maybe you've heard it performed by Sinead O'Connor in, I think it was like in the 90s. It is so intimate and it gives you goosebumps.
It does. And I almost chose her version. I really was like, which version do we use? We have like 30 in the library. But then I heard Emisha and I'm like, oh, this is the one.
So beautiful. We're talking with Sheila Shigley, the new permanent host for Wisconsin Public Radio's Simply Folk, as we explore her musical journey and what she appreciates about folk music, past and present. You can join in. What would you know, like to know about Sheila? What folk music or artists would you like Sheila to feature on Simply Folk? 800-642-1234. Sheila, you know, I was just fascinated to know that you were born in Hong Kong, and I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your birthplace and what you saw there.
Hong Kong is, you know, I always usually use this example. I mean, it sounds exotic, and in a way, I guess in a way it is, but really it was a very sort of leave it to beaver childhood. Just friends, you know, kids doing stuff together. It's just that most of my friends were Chinese, but it was this safe, safe place to be. You know, families would go out shopping until like 2 a.m. They would think nothing of strolling down the the brightly lit streets at 2 a.m., a safe and wonderful place to grow up. And people there just love music as well. So, couldn't have been better.
When did you move away?
We came here to Wisconsin in 1979, ironically, when Simply Folk, the year Simply Folk started. I latched onto Simply Folk pretty quickly.
Yeah, you were like a teenager listening to Simply Folk.
I was, and, you know, I'm probably revealing, I don't know if this is an offense or not, but I had a little tape recorder, and as a child, I would record Simply Folk when I could by putting my tape recorder up against the speaker. I was a very avid devotee.
Thistle and Shamrock, too, was one of your favorite shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is also really interesting. The spelling of your name, you changed it in what you described as a fit of Celtic passion. Can you?
it's hard to have a fit of Celtic passion that stands out in any way, because there are a lot of them going on. I taught Irish for a while, specifically taught Irish singing, and most of my fellow teachers were from Ireland. And in Ireland, you can use either the anglicized or the native Gaelic spelling of your name sort of interchangeably. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it would be nice to, my ancestors came here to the States and changed their names to be more English. And I thought, why don't I change mine back to be more Irish? I thought that would be a cool thing to do. It's actually been quite an adventure, but
a legal adventure, I would suppose.
a legal adventure, for sure.
Well, what is it about Celtic music and the Gaelic tradition that really speaks to you?
You know, that is a great question. I think that there is something about there's the music itself, and of course there's the language. The music, I think that drone-based music really grabs people. You know, you can see it when somebody's out there playing bagpipes. You know, even though bagpipes, I mean, if you get up close to them, they can be a little jarring, but people are nonetheless they gravitate and they stop in their tracks. I really think that there's something about a drone that people just love, just physically, and then you add fifths to that, and it's just this. I think there's something about the modality of the music that grabs people.
We are talking with Sheila Shigley, spending the hour with her, the new permanent host of WPR's Simply Folk, and you can catch it every Sunday evening from 5 to 8. Are you a fan of Simply Folk? What are some of your favorite moments from the show? Maybe like hearing folk legends Pete Seeger, Libba Cotton, Dar Williams. Join in on the folk music tradition and here at WPR, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with WPR's Sheila Shigley on the Ideas Network. You're with us as we appreciate WPR's long-running show, over 40 years now, Simply Folk, and we're getting to know the new permanent host, Sheila Shigley. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the morning show. And Sheila's warm, welcoming voice, it is unmistakable, and her deep music knowledge is influenced by her roots, her parents being avid musicians. What does folk mean to you? Do you listen to Celtic music? What do you want to know about its history? Join in 800-642-1234. Sheila's first show as permanent host was this week, and she stays with us for the hour. Sheila, let's talk about you and your instruments. You play a number of instruments, fiddle, cello, bouzouki. Can you, when did you start learning these instruments?
Well, my mother asked me what instrument I wanted to play in our church choir. We grew up Seventh-day Adventist, lots of singing going on there, and I said I wanted to play drums. And I think that was probably a portent of things to come. She said, well, we can't do the drums. And I said, then I would like to play trombone. And so anyway, that also didn't work out. So I probably started on fiddle because my mother herself is a violinist, and from a young age, I would drag her violin around to lessons when I was nine. And it's amazing that it survived, but I'm sure that that's what got me on that path. And then when I discovered traditional Celtic music, I started calling it a fiddle instead of a violin.
Oh, I love that. And then you also branched out to cello.
A very dear friend of mine, Steve Pingree, was a cello player, and he used it in rock music. And I thought, well, this is cool. Let's try this in Celtic music and try to see if we can do some drones with it. So I experimented with that for a while.
And what happened with the bouzouki? Can you describe this instrument?
Yeah, the easiest way to think of it is just an octave mandolin, and it's also sometimes called an octave mandolin.
Okay.
The Celtic crowd stole it from the Greeks via some English. Two English musicians went to Greece, and they came back with a bouzouki, and the Greek version has a rounded back. And I always joke that we had to saw off the back so it could fit into the pubs, but basically it's a... and it is hard to fit into the pubs.
I love that story. Is it difficult to play, or is it there a little learning curve there?
Actually, I gravitated towards it because it has fewer overall string situations than a guitar. It has four courses. So, again, like a mandolin, and you tune it in a way that it's very open tuning. So, again, we have that drone going, and you can do, I will just go ahead and admit it, much easier chords with like one or two fingers. But it gives a nice drone quality to the music, and it just sounds a little more distinctive than a guitar.
Oh, I love it. So do you get to play often? Do you have time where you just set aside and play your instrument?
I try to. Life has a habit of getting in the way of practice. But I've also found that if you insist on practicing, the rest of life will still happen. So I haven't been very disciplined this last year. But I try to, whenever possible, get some quiet time.
Do you practice alone? Do you practice with friends?
Mostly always with friends. Madison has had a wonderful, we call it a session. It's the same as a jam session that you would do for bluegrass or blues. And the Irish have this thing called a session, and you just get together every week and play common tunes. We've had a session going now here in Madison for, I think it's over 30 years now. It might be coming up on 40.
Well, you picked out another song for us by Moya Brennan. And this is Clannad, right? The group Clannad?
That is right. It is the first Irish Gaelic song that grabbed me, and it just changed my life.
Skrianui an over ik tamu sa wir tanabe hogi drandan san chan jeladan fogi paran nagelcha gui baranadan.
You know, I did learn Clannad means family in Gaelic.
That's right, yes. And what's so interesting, two of the, you know, probably better known Irish groups from back in the 80s were Clannad and Alton. And the singer in Alton is a sister. I mean, they're all related, basically. I'll just say it that way. They're like literally neighbors. They're, you know, they're these exotic groups to us, and they're cousins and neighbors, and it's just neat.
When you heard that song, how did that change you?
You know, I don't know why it did. I mean, obviously, it's just a, you know, to me anyway, it's just a beautiful song. I don't know that I had heard unaccompanied singing like that. I had grown up singing in, you know, choirs and stuff, but the single unaccompanied voice, that was new to me. And for some reason, it just grabbed me by the soul.
We're talking with Sheila Shigley, the new host for WPR Simply Folk, and we're exploring her life, her connection to music this hour, and taking your questions about folk music, 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us from Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. I grew up in up in Marathon County area, and my husband and I were some of the best polka dancers on the floor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when my husband died, it was 4 years ago, but I asked our young priest if we could have a polka funeral mass, and he finally agreed to let us have that. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, to this day, people say that was the happiest, joyous time, because that's exactly what Bob would have wanted.
Yeah.
And it was so... You know, going out following the casket, people were smiling and they were going with the music. And, of course, it was all religious words. It was all, you know, spiritual words. But the music itself was polka music. And it was, I'm so happy that we got to do that for Bob, because
that's
what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
And I want to hear some of that once in a while. I would love to hear some polka music on the radio. But where the heck are you going to hear it?
Oh, Nancy, thank you. Sheila.
Nancy, thank you. I hope you caught the polkas we played for you this Sunday. We played your request, and then I tagged on some Irish polkas as well. So I hope you were able to hear them.
I'll bet you I was at church when you were playing that polka. I called in and asked for it.
Yes. Well, we will play. You know, that was a reminder to me. As Kate was saying, you know, what is folk music? There's so many versions of it to keep track of. But you gave me a very good reminder that we need to include more polkas. So I can promise you more polkas will be in the running.
Nancy, thank you so much and take care. Mona now is joining us from Madison. Hi, Mona.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. Are you going to include any Welsh folk music on Simply Folk? I've tuned in like on St. David's Day and there's been like nothing. And I just wondered if you have any Welsh folk music in your library there.
Absolutely. And we will definitely be including it. There's a funny story about, it's St. David's Day, of course. You may know the song, Dear St. David, Bless Those Whales. Mm-hmm. It came from a misunderstanding where somebody wanted a song to be sung to bless whales, and somebody wrote a song instead blessing whales. Yes, we have wonderful folk music, both choir and even some older stuff in the library. So thank you for the St. David's Day reminder.
Mona, thanks. You know, Sheila, you've been in that library for decades now. Can you give us a little tour of what the music library is like at WPR?
Absolutely. We are up to, I want to say, over 12,000, about 12,000 folk albums now. And I was originally hired just to digitize the card catalog. So we have it divided into what we used to call like American folk and international folk. And over time, those have sort of begun to mingle.
Sure.
So we put them on the shelf in the order that they come in. So in other words, you know, the very first CD in both categories is literally the first CD we got. So it's kind of a walk through history. And you can even see all the different librarians that have touched it by the way they cut the labels.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have a lot of music that comes in week to week, day to day, month to month?
We do. You know, things, there was a little bit of a slowdown during this past year, understandably. And then all of a sudden, I would say within the last 3 months, it has just started flooding in.
Oh, that is awesome. And you're part of a Celtic a cappella vocal quartet, Navin, that's performed across the country.
We say we are on extended baby hiatus because our our wonderful singer Elizabeth had two boys, and that was many years ago. We can't bear to say that we're not singing anymore, so we're just going to be on, you know, extended hiatus until something else happens. But we enjoyed many wonderful years together singing around the place. We never went overseas, but we did manage to sneak into Canada.
Well, let's listen to a bit of Navin.
Oh, you call on Brada.
Well, Sheila, I think those baby days are over. That is beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. And that's Cornish, which has a big place in Wisconsin. It's closely related to Welsh, from our previous caller mentioning Welsh. Cornish is a big part of Wisconsin's history.
WPR's own Sheila Shigley with us this hour. New permanent host of Simply Folk. You can catch it every Sunday evening, 5 to 8 here. Are you a folk musician? Are there particular occasions in your community when people play and listen to your music? A session? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Sheila after a news update on the Ideas Network. Folk music is defined by the people who create it. We're talking about the folk tradition with the new permanent host of WPR's Simply Folk. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and what a pleasure to spend the hour with Sheila Shigley, who has a long history with Simply Folk, listening to it as a teen, as a music librarian, as a fill-in host. What do you want to know about the history of folk music and how it's featured on Simply Folk? Is there a ballad or protest song that has lifted you up in difficult times? 800-642-1234. Sheila, we heard from Rob in Greenfield, who called in to say welcome to you. And Rob also said, don't forget about the Great Lakes Maritime music.
That is right. We have a great tradition around the Great Lakes of Maritime music. Oh, man, where to begin? You know, songs that talk about events that happened on the lakes, songs that were sung by the sailors to help the work go easier, to help them stay in rhythm with their rowing, and all kinds of stuff. Absolutely, Rob. We will make sure to keep including maritime music.
I want to circle back for a moment to your a cappella group, Navin. What is the significance behind the name?
Oh, Navin is a, some people are probably a little more familiar with Tara Hill in Ireland. Mm-hmm. It was a seat of government, you could say. Navin is a hill fort in County Armagh, and it used to be surrounded by like 100 tree trunks that then had a roof over it. So it was a place for gathering for spiritual events and community events.
On St. Paddy's Day in 2007, you got recognition on Weekend Edition Sunday when they featured your album, Luenna. What was that moment like?
That moment was crazy. It was wonderful. I was very thrilled to be doing it, and I was grateful. And I was in bed, and my husband got up really early, and he said, Sheila, I have a calculator. I'm like, okay. He said, you're going to need more albums. He said, I've been counting the listeners and the percentage of, you know, and he went on, and he was right. We did need more albums. It was wonderful, wonderful to have that experience. We're so grateful.
It got a lot of traction. He did the math.
He did the math, which I'm not good at math, and this is probably not unexpected. Folk musicians aren't always their best self-advocates.
How did that album come together? What about collaboration? How does that work?
Yeah, where did so we found a lot of material at the University of Wisconsin libraries. They had wonderful collections of Scottish Gaelic and Irish Gaelic and Welsh and more. And we sort of mined the old documents, and then we went back to traditional singers, and we tried to learn from the traditional singers what the style was like, and then apply that to some of the documents we were finding.
Wow. So you were really going back to artifacts and bringing them to life again through the a cappella group.
Yes. And so often, you know, the people who would take down the tunes didn't speak the language, so they would just take down the tune, and sometimes the opposite would happen. So it's been a great joy to occasionally find out how to bring two back together. And we've had several wonderful discoveries like that where we were able to find the tune and find the original lyrics and then reunite them.
How difficult is it to learn the lyrics and pronunciation and doing the rhythms and doing that all at once?
It sounds daunting, but if you just set aside your fears and just rely on your ear, it's actually just fine. And I will say that even though Gaelic looks very frightening as a spelling system, it's really regular. so once you learn that, you know, MH is pronounced like a V, it's frightening, but then you realize it's always pronounced that way, so with a few exceptions. But it's not as hard as it seems, so I encourage everybody to try it.
Well, you mined the WPR Music Library for us, brought us some discoveries, and let's listen to The Golden Vanity by Crooked Still.
Then up spoke a little cabin boy, saying, what will you give me if I will then destroy the second middle and lonesome low, if I sink me in a lonesome sea? The man who then destroys, the captain then replies.
Can we just continue listening? Why should we talk over this?
Right? It's just, I'm just personally very attached to that song.
What is it that caught your attention?
Well, Crooked Still is, you know, so there's a term out there called new grass, and it's used for usually on groups that are younger people coming out and reinventing bluegrass. Obviously, what you just heard wasn't straight up bluegrass, but that's an ancient song. It was first recorded it was first noted in 1635, which meant it probably had been sung for 100 or 200 years before that. But here's Aoife O'Donovan, whose voice you heard there, you know, singing this only a few years ago and reimagining it.
That's so wonderful that you can really take that history and bring it to the present. And I wasn't even aware of this word, new grass.
You know, I haven't heard it much lately, but when I first heard it, I thought, oh, that's a really good way to describe it. And it's exploded since then. I mean, there are so many micro genres now within folk, it's hard to keep track.
And I would imagine, too, that you kind of have to strike that balance with the show of incorporating traditional works and yet really keeping your eye on how folk music is evolving.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, everyone, including, I'm sure, the listeners, we all have different ideas of what folk music is or should be. So it keeps things fresh, I'll say that. There's really not much chance of bogging down because you just have to keep up with all these kinds of music. And that's the joy of it, really.
You're always discovering something new, I would imagine.
Yes. So many brand new artists coming in. Sometimes I'll play a song whose CD package I literally opened like minutes before the show, and I popped it in. I'm like, oh man, I've got to play this.
I got to blow up my show here.
Exactly.
We're talking with Sheila Shigley, new permanent host for Wisconsin Public Radio's Simply Folk. You can join in. Do you listen to Simply Folk? What do you want to know about the show's history or about what you want to hear moving forward? All request shows, 800-642-1234. Sheila, I mean, it's not like right now you can just pop over to the music library and do any request here. I mean, you're kind of glued to your seat. But I mean, I love those request shows. You never know what you're going to hear.
Well, I can tell you I'm about 23 steps from the library. So if that's what you're asking, I can make this happen.
Yeah, but the only problem is I can't fill those. No, but, you know, do you find that your request shows also open you up to new music?
Oh, they absolutely do every single time. In fact, as you had mentioned, my first official show was a few days ago. That was the request show. And I thought, how perfect is that? You know, instead of now, I did get to pick a little bit of music, but, you know, usually it's jam packed. And I learn so much every single time. I'm with 12,000 folk albums in the library. Even though as long as I've been here, which is quite a while, I'm still finding new things.
My favorite thing about Simply Folk, of course, the music, but the introductions to the music and people's personal stories for what a particular song means to them. And that, you know, it usually triggers something inside of me that I think about as I listen to the song. And I feel like that is really important for the show.
It is. And, you know, I think it's the natural way that music is, right? I mean, there's mm-hmm. always the story is about a real person, or it's being sung by a real person. I think, you know, in more commercial radio, music is seen in sort of an isolation.
Yeah.
What I love about folk music is that it's, I guess, to say holistic, you know, it's about a real person and it's being sung by a real person. And there's so much more to it than just the song itself.
I wonder, does your background with playing instruments inform how you hear folk songs or how you hear this music that comes in to the music library?
Yes, I think it does. I mean, it makes me be in awe of the musicians I hear, because when I hear them doing something, especially on a cello, let's say, I'm like, I know how hard that is, and you just did it perfectly, and I wish I could.
I bet you do. I certainly would think that you would identify or also be in awe of, like, I couldn't do that, you know?
Exactly.
What are your goals for the show?
My goals are to, you know, keep this ship sailing. We just, you know, I don't feel like the show needs to be changed. I think the show has always been what it should be, in my opinion. Maybe opinions may differ, but it has always played both very old traditional music, and it has welcomed incoming music and incoming artists. And I think that's the way to be. So that is my hope for the show, is to just keep the ship sailing and keep her in good condition and see what comes next.
I'm wondering, did you ever see yourself as a music host? Did you see this path?
When I was lurking in the library all those years, you know, my very first time on mic was pitching, was for our fundraisers. And
yeah.
Judy Rose was very kind and had me come and pitch with her. And I was petrified. And of course, back then, you know, we didn't have scripts and it was all very exciting. But it was a great experience. And little by little, little by little, I was lured onto the mic.
Well, how about we hear more music? And you've brought us a bit of I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, performed live by Alison Krauss and Union Station.
All through his day. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, a place where I was born and raised.
Sheila, we're nodding our head in agreement.
Oh, it's, you know, folk music has both on the Celtic side and on what you just heard here with the old-timey and bluegrass American music, you know, it hasn't always been in good shape. There have been times in its history when it has come close to being I think, just disappearing.
Hmm.
And several major world events transpired that gave it a real healthy shot in the arm. Riverdance just set the world on fire for Irish dancing and Irish music. It had already had somewhat of a revival, but it was being replaced. Younger people were listening to rock, which is fine. But Riverdance really, really re-enthused people of all ages. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou had a similar effect with American music.
Mm.
I remember a bluegrass friend of mine saying, I've got 8-year-olds coming up to me and asking for old standards, you know, so really exciting. exciting.
Sheila Shigley, the new permanent host of WPR's Simply Folk, airs every Sunday evening, 5 to 8, on both WPR's News and Music and Ideas Network. What artists do you want Sheila to explore in Simply Folk? What folk musician is your favorite of all time? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sheila Shigley on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and all this hour, we're getting to know WPR's new permanent host of Simply Folk, Sheila Shigley. She loves how folk music evolves, but stays true to its core while encompassing a huge variety of styles. And we're learning about those styles and Sheila's musical journey. Still time to talk about Simply Folk, 800-642-1234. Sheila's with us for 10 more minutes. Sheila, we were just talking there about this gorgeous mandolin music. What would you like to say about it?
I just love it so much. It's so sweet. Every instrument brings its own voice to the scene, and that's another thing that's happening with folk music is it's embracing a lot of instruments. You know, there was a time when, you know, you would confine yourself to just a couple of instruments, and that has changed. People are trying all kinds of things, and it's wonderful.
Well, how about we play more music? You know,
let's do it.
So you brought us On God's Rocky Shore. Can you tell us about it?
This is a song by Kahalen Morrison and Eli West. Okay. They're a very young duo, and I just love what they are doing. They're creating a, you know, what sounds like an old sound and a new sound at the same time.
All crashing all upon the shore, on God's rocky shore. The hornpipes are blowing, gone out through the window, gone outside my door. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said,
oh, I love it. I love it. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, I was about to say, no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Right? You know? Oh, and you heard that that very percussive string instrument. That was the frailing or clawhammer banjo. And that is just, as listeners might have guessed by now, banjo is one of my favorite things. And the way they play that, the clawhammer, it has a softer touch to it. And it sounds very much like an African kora. Mm. If you go listen to kora music, You think you're hearing some old-timey or bluegrass, just these beautiful, ringing, drone-based, bright notes. And I just think that's such an awesome thing that those two sound so much alike.
Yeah, and, you know, when I think of folk music, I do think of the banjo as kind of as this through line, if you will, in the music. There is so much more to it, but how does the banjo kind of, why is it at the core of folk music?
You know, that has a long history, and it is avidly debated. But, you know, somebody out there will probably correct me, but I believe it's now widely held that the banjo appeared in America because of slaves who were brought here, and they basically created a miniature kora. I would love to determine once and for all, you know, who was the first guy who did this. I think he should be celebrated, or maybe it was a lady. The banjo sounds and is played in a way that is so reminiscent of the kora that I believe that history is pretty accurate.
Sheila, what do you see as the role of protest songs in the course of folk music?
Oh, they have such a huge role. If you ever get a chance to see some of the documentaries about Martin Luther King and the role that the group singing played in that, in booing the people and keeping them together and keeping things peaceful, it's almost impossible to put into words how we express our feelings about our world. You know, that's what, you know, a protest, it implies that there's something that you're trying to change, and to think that we can have an effect on things by song is just, it's humbling and beautiful.
And, you know, what do you see as the role of Bob Dylan in these songs and his trajectory?
What a fascinating thing. I literally just read a story about a song that they prevented him from singing at a festival long ago because it was considered too challenging to the authorities at the time. And
this was in the 1966, isn't that right?
Yeah. And so he walked off the stage, and they wouldn't let him play it, and then they pulled it from his album, and he later recorded it. But that probably happened to him more than once. so powerful when somebody rises to prominence and they managed to not take him down. You know, they tried several times to prevent him from singing, but he was unstoppable.
And there was the issue about, you know, playing an electric guitar as well. Is that right?
Yes, that engendered a whole new kind of protest. We need to be challenged sometimes. You know, there is music I have heard which at first I actually like strongly disliked, and our wonderful music librarian Denny Ryan taught me more than anybody else, always give it another chance, because you'll be surprised what you can learn to love if you really, really set aside your prejudices and give it a chance.
That is really good. I need to sit on that a moment. That's a really good thing to say. How do you think about folk music in the pandemic and in these times we're living in?
People have done amazing things. There is a choir piece out there. I'm not going to be able to remember it on the spot, but they recorded something like 300 people and somehow managed to mix this. And they had this virtual choir that sang about not giving up and, you know, being kind to one another and staying strong during these times. That kind of example is repeated over and over again this last year. And it's just one of the beautiful things to come out of a very, very difficult situation.
Imagine, too, you're hearing music out of social justice and the protests that we have seen over the year and the Black Lives Matter movement. How might that inform folk music?
It will inform it deeply. In fact, there is a group that has only been in our library now for a couple years. It's called Gangsta Grass, and it is what it sounds like. It's a combination of rap and bluegrass, but almost always with a social justice message. Music has a way of reaching people and opening our ears in a way that they could not be opened by the spoken word or a conversation. There's something about hearing it in a song that can just skip all your prejudices and go straight to your soul, I think.
Where do you think folk music is headed with future generations?
That is anybody's guess. I expect it, you know, it's instead of deviating ever further away from its core, I feel like it orbits and it's reincarnated over and over again. So it remains folk, but it continues to flower every single generation in a different way.
This is like poetry. And I feel like it takes us all the way back to the first question of what is folk music? And maybe just let that question, you know, vanish into the ether.
I love that. Let's do that. That is the perfect way to handle it.
Oh, wow. Sheila, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun.
It is delightful to be here with you, and thank you for having me.
Sheila Shigley, she is the new permanent host of Simply Folk. You can catch it Sunday nights, 5 to 8, on both WPR's News and Music Network and here on the Ideas Network. Live stream Simply Folk at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's listen to the music here on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.
The hornpipes are blowing, gone out through the window, gone outside my door. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said,